Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
Dun, dun.
We are your Supreme Crit Justices. Emily was trying to hold my hand.
Yeah. And we're on video now, so you can see that.
Wow. Sometimes you can see those visual jokes.
Affection, folks.
We all need to remember where our bread is buttered. And that's
no more visual gag world. Starting right now.
Starting right now. Don't use your finger to say that there's visual gags.
No more visual gags.
You have to just say that there's visual gags.
Everyone sit wooden and still.
Yes, please. We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner. And with us, as always, is our delightful Bailiff Jake. Decided that the Bailiff John, actually.
Bailiff John.
No one talks down to John.
Thank you so much, John.
Chose
we
John
really
a little
respect
little
you.
Respect.
And with that, we will throw to Bailiff John.
Hear ye, Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices, Axford, Murphy, and Tanner, presiding along with Bailiff John.
So strong, that Bailiff John.
That's spinoff material right there.
Really?
Bailiff John.
Oh, I could totally see like Bob Odenkirk playing that character.
Wow. Bob Odenkirk.
I act.
Yeah. Jake's 20 years younger than him.
I know, but Bailiff John sounds like an older guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He's like on the verge of retirement. What? And then something happens in his life and he can't retire yet and he really wants to retire.
I know I look young.
Yeah, we're sorry, John. You've been recast.
No offense, John, but Odenkirk's got the gravitas.
You're walking all over John.
Yeah.
John was supposed to
I
be different.
I had John, and you're taking him away from me.
John's status.
See, Odenkirk has that man quality, whereas the three of us have like old boy energy. You know what I mean?
And not in like a fun action movie.
Yeah.
I asked my sisters when we were on vacation, I was like, am I a man or a guy?
Oh. And guy.
Yeah, everyone said I was
third
a guy.
Option. Yeah. That's good.
At what point do you become a man?
I don't know.
At what point do you go from guy to man?
Maybe having a kid, but Caldo's still a little guy.
Yeah, I'm still a guy.
He's just a little guy.
That's by his choice. That's very clearly driven from Caldwell.
It's a specific sort of psychosis where like I act like a little guy, but in my head I'm a big man.
Oh, I love it.
I think I'm
similar. Yeah. No, I'm the opposite. I act like a big man, but in my head I'm a little guy.
There you go. Okay.
I think so.
Interesting. I think I'm a little guy and a little out like in the world and in my head.
Yeah.
I'm always the same guy.
We need more big men out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is why I hit my head so often.
I think I brought this up before, but people were saying outside of I think last year's New York show that I was taller than they thought I would be. But I'm not tall. I'm like average height. So I think they just thought I was a mad little guy.
Yeah,
that's really interesting.
People were saying, like, I thought you'd have more of an Odenkirk energy to Jake.
Yes, most people did.
Yeah.
Especially Bob.
It was so great of him to come.
Yeah, it was really cool that he showed up. In Deadeye cosplay
him with a
as
dice.
Well. Yeah. Okay, our first case comes from Andrew Y. And Andrew writes, to the as honorable as Judge Judy judges.
Woo!
And the,
really?
You'll never be Petrie Hawkins Bird Bailiff. I guess that's a Judge Judy reference.
Deep pull, yeah.
Okay.
But now you're John.
Right. They actually say Bird Bailiff Jake, and I am I am Bailiff John. So,
you've ascended.
Okay.
We can also call you Bob or Odenkirk.
Works. I don't hate Bailiff Odenkirk.
What about Lil Bobby Odenkirk?
You don't think that Bob Odenkirk will get mad if we...
I think he'd be honored.
The super niche podcast has started using your name.
The only guest...
Don't you understand that, like, they would get it? Because Jake says so much stuff that, like... I mean, Bob Odenkirk can't align himself with.
Name one thing. Name one position I've taken that Bob Odenkirk would be.
That Bob Odenkirk wouldn't back him up on.
He thinks that schools shouldn't have cafeterias.
They should eat lunch at their desks. Why does everyone have to clean up after these
fuckers? When did this come up? Why is this the first time hearing this opinion?
They get the lunch at the door and they eat it at their desk. They can have recess. There doesn't need to be a cafeteria. And they need ice cream at fucking noon.
Oh, Odenkirk's not touching that one.
Ooh, John doesn't stand for this shit.
All right, John.
I submit to the course the case of the Rob Natural 20 initiative.
Mm. I have a tear coming down my eyes from that. Let
it do. Wow, I can see it.
I see it. You can.
Wow.
Murph, can you catch it?
Are you just going to leave it?
Yeah.
Let it go. You can just leave it.
Like we're still
crying the whole time.
Now it's leaking into my nose.
Do you want to flick it away with the gavel?
Leave it for the video audience. Okay, yeah.
Just for them. I joined a random campaign that was happening on Roll20. Mm. I set up my character sheet so I could toggle between disadvantage, flat, and advantage on my own. On a previous roll, I was told to roll with advantage, so I did. However, I forgot to turn that off. So when making my next roll for initiative during combat, I accidentally rolled with advantage. The rolls were a natural 20 and a 17. I was told that since I rolled that advantage when not instructed to, the die did not count.
Yes.
I argued that the natural 20 should remain since it was the first roll, not the second roll. He said I could either leave or roll again. I re-rolled and I got a 7. The DM then went on my character sheet and turned off the toggle for me. I was told not to turn it back on or else I would be booted from the game. Was it fair for the DM to rob me of my natural 20?
Oh, yeah.
Or should you stole.
You stole.
And then someone took that back.
With a very strong
power trip. It wasn't a power trip for the DM to edit my character sheet like that. I humbly await your opinion.
I feel like if you're playing...
Humbly.
I think you always have to if you like roll something by accident or like if the dice falls off the table or something, you always have to play it as if this were a nat 1, would I say this counted? Yes. And I don't think you would have. I think
all those dice dinked off the cup and he said, oh, it didn't count.
And then he was like, yes, it did.
Did you see it? And he was like, it was a 6.
Yeah. It didn't count.
It slipped out of my hand is the thing. It slipped out of my hand.
But if it was nat 20, you would have counted it, right?
That's true.
There you go.
I think this person, unfortunately, I'm definitely going to punish you. But I love your confidence.
This getting kicked out of the your like roll 20 thing, that would never happen to John.
John would have gotten kicked out for his bad school opinions.
Oh, come on.
You're saying they need a protest. They shouldn't even get a playtime.
No.
They should just be eating while we teach them.
Watch TV.
When you said, what is his bad opinion? I was like, I got to come up with something neutral enough. And then you just ran with it in a way that was so funny to me.
The cafeteria call up. That was what really set it up.
They get food when they answer the questions right.
But this this DM has really serious. I met you on roll 20 energy of just being like, I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna untoggle that.
Yeah,
and if you've got a problem with it, I'll boot you.
Here's the thing. It sounds harsh, but I feel like this DM deserves a commendation for putting up with the bullshit they must put up with. Playing with randos.
You're playing an MMO at this point. Yeah. I know there's certain like social things that are different.
You're running an MMO.
They also might be used to people being like, I actually don't know how to do that. So they might, just be efficiency at this point. Like when you...
Also, if you're arguing, if you're sitting there, you roll the wrong thing with advantage, and then you're arguing that your nat 20 should count.
This DM is keeping the story moving forward and not making it about you.
If I'm a player at that table, I think I'm also not on your side.
Because also he knows you're going to argue.
Uh-huh.
If they don't fix it.
This DM is a civil servant.
Yeah,
they deserve a medal.
Bring it all back to teachers. There are some like some students who have good intentions and they're like, "Can I go to the bathroom?" But like some kids just wander the hall. So you're just like, like I have to basically build my lesson plan around the worst behaved students.
Yeah,
and that's the only way we can keep this thing moving forward.
Right. Yeah,
Jake, have you been like moonlighting as a teacher?
I just don't think they should have lunch.
You're just a concerned
citizen. No bathroom break.
I'm not moonlighting as a teacher as much as I'm hanging out at
school.
We
need budget cuts, and it's in an obvious place.
Yeah.
I'm saying
they have milk and chocolate milk.
Jake, let's just choose one. Jake has lunch with the teachers and complains that the kids are also having lunch.
And they're at lunch now, too.
And they're at lunch, and they don't even have jobs.
So everyone's eating lunch.
You guys are here busting your asses.
Job. You need to
You're
take
on the job,
lunch.
Right?
What
you need to take a lunch.
Coach Stern, are you going to finish your tuna?
What union are they in? What dues do they pay?
Can I smoke in here?
Yeah. I mean, this DM definitely has a very, they seem very cold. The idea of just being like, if you keep arguing with me, I'm just going to boot you.
I think you're in a situation where you got to be cold.
It is a situation of,
you don't have time.
This feels very much like a bunch of strangers playing a Roll20 together, which it is.
Yes.
And if you continue to bring that energy, that's always what it will be. And you probably won't all become friends. But that sounds like that's what this game
robbed.
Is.
You weren't robbed.
And the DM is... I think that they are being maybe a little rude and a little cold. Mm-hmm. But they're technically right.
Yeah.
And you're arguing a point that... is incorrect.
Right.
Like you rolled with
everyone,
advantage.
Everyone rolls with advantage and then tries to argue that they should
that should be allowed. Yeah, yeah.
I think we should punish this person by you have to start the children shouldn't have schools shouldn't have cafeterias movement in your town.
That's cool. I will be the public facing
That's great.
Figurehead.
You say the next time you get into a Roll 20 game, you kick it off with being like, "What's up? My name is this. One of my biggest things that I care about is kids not getting lunch at school."
The educational system is hemorrhaging money.
They don't have
feeding
to have
all these
kids room
the shape of
for food.
Do you know how many days you can go without food?
Cafeterias.
Yeah. We have to put the crunch on lunch.
That's good.
That's
actually
why
really
am I helping
like
you?
We need that.
Get me out of this, John.
Bailiff John.
I want no part of this, John.
John is really perfect except for that one weird opinion.
Yeah. As soon as the DM was like, "No, you did it."
Yeah.
I could see making this argument of being like, "I rolled with advantage by accident, but I got a nat 20 and it landed first."
Yeah.
You could do that kind of like cheeky basically, face, DM, like, "Come on, please."
It wasn't a theft. It just, you weren't given a present. You asked for a gift.
Yeah, you asked for a gift and they threatened to boot you.
Yeah.
You pushed your finger into your dimple and the DM did not respond.
Yeah, I wonder if they're salty a little bit just because the interaction was so severe.
So severe.
It was like,
I think, you know what I feel for this DM? They're playing with a lot of people they don't know.
Yeah.
They're playing online, which means that online interactions are always a little weirder. They're praising efficiency, right?
Yeah.
This person, I think it's possible they were curt not even to be rude, but just to be efficient.
Yeah. This is run by gamers for gamers.
Right. To your point, the other players on the screen were happy that this was like shut down and you started moving.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Yeah, I guess you can't really afford to argue with people that you don't know at all.
Yeah. If I were playing with like five strangers and there was just somebody being like, no, I should get
if
to do
someone,
this.
That's true. Like, I guess if like I was really getting into it with
here?
Somebody, I'd be like, you're kicked out.
It's like when you hear somebody yelling at like a flight attendant.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
So...
just like, what are you doing?
I would boot that person.
Yeah,
so.
Totally. You do have to, I think you have to, you think about the greater good of the experience of people
totally.
That are playing the game.
Yeah.
So with that said, Andrew is being punished.
By having to come out in favor of cutting school lunches in your Roll
20
games.
Not school lunches, just school shouldn't
cafeteria.
Have cafeterias.
They can eat, but does it have to be in this room?
The table.
Yeah, because that would be ridiculous to say they can't eat. They can eat.
Yeah,
they just
eat.
Don't need a whole fucking temple.
You know what you can do?
Exactly. A fucking palace for your lunch? No.
What kind
of school did you go to? John,
I think you could really get everyone against you. Everyone against you by being like, "We're going to supply really good school meals that are going to cost the taxpayers a lot of money, but we're also going to destroy the cafeteria."
Right.
We're going to bulldoze
your taxes are going
up. We're going to bulldoze the cafeteria and nothing is going to get erected in its place. Right.
But it would be a demo. Kids can have hard-boiled eggs whenever they want.
Yeah.
That's cool. As long as they eat them at their desk.
Kids just have to eat at their desk. That's all he cares about.
Okay.
I don't care how much money this costs me as long as the kids are eating at their desk.
It's like, oh, so this is a
budget thing?
No. The school has a budget now?
It's a discipline thing.
It's a learning their lesson thing. Okay. The next case comes from Puppet Analingus.
Oh, my goodness.
We're just going to do this straight. Mm. Yeah.
Puppet Analingus writes.
We're good.
To the remarkably pristine yet sensual judges.
Great.
And Jill's au pair.
Right. This is John. This is John we're talking about now.
You don't talk to John like that. I have a voicemail into my wife, and I'm pretty sure she's going to return it. I present the case of emotional railroading.
Oh, dear.
I run a game for a group of friends, and recently we had someone join our group. They're great engaging with the backstory and other PCs, but there was a snag as I narrated a scene exposing their backstory. While narrating it, I talked about how they felt when they were younger, comparing it to how they felt now with the party facing challenges. They became kind of withdrawn for the rest of the session, and when I asked them what was up, they said I took their player agency away. I was flummoxed. They said by voicing their PC's thoughts and feelings, I was forcing the character to make decisions to suit whatever story I wanted to tell. I talk to my players after sessions all the time. Deep personal discussions about their characters, their motivations, where they want the story to go. Am I being sensitive? Is it wrong to assume I know about my players and their characters and how they would think and feel? I lay myself at the mercy of the court where I presume the bailiff sleeps.
This might be, I'm sure this is an unpopular opinion, but most of what I say on this show is, I feel like this player was really overthinking this whole situation. I can't imagine being like, you took away my player agency.
I think this is a complicated one because I think they're technically correct, but I think I don't quite understand becoming like completely withdrawn and just being like, because you said I was sad in this backstory, that now that has to, now that fucks with everything I'm going to do
right.
this session.
You can just take what your DM is saying and be like, that's not actually how I
feel. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction.
This DM is saying that they did talk to them about how they feel.
It sounds like everything is handled correctly in that you talk to your player afterwards, they told you what they didn't like about it, and now you won't do that going forward.
Right,
and
to I think this that's particular cool. player, but this is a new player and your other players might be fine with it.
Yeah.
So. But I think it's an easy thing to avoid. Like, I think I've probably done it by accident sometimes.
By the way, I like when you do it.
But I don't know that I say how you guys feel, and I might have done it a couple times.
I think
times.
You do it like in a flashback when we're like younger. I feel like I remember like Hard One at the Dwarfenage or something.
Yeah,
you
would say, it might be like,
but that's like that,
and
nice.
It's accurate, and it's like, it's nice. I'm like, you do know where my, I think that's fucking great.
I think it could be helpful at, like for the DM to be like, you're like back when you were younger, you feel so small. And then it's like, oh, I know. Oh, okay. I'm this like puts me in the position. Yeah. I mean, I also am in a position that like, you know, like I tell Murph or like even Brennan, I always write him emails about like where my characters are at. So,
and there are confusing. Certain like actual like mechanical things that like make your characters feel something too, like being frightened or like if your character fails a roll or something, the DM would be like, you feel this way now.
Yeah, it depends on, I guess it depends on what the backstory thing is, right? Because it is like, because maybe part of the problem here is that it is a new player. Mm-hmm. Is it that? That's what they said.
Yeah.
So I think it might just be a thing of like everybody getting used to each other and maybe they didn't agree with your read on their backstory.
Right.
Because with like the example you're giving with like Hard One, at that point we had already had episodes and episodes and episodes talking about Hard One's backstory. So I could be like, I know Hard One felt lonely because he said he felt lonely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then when I do this flashback, I'm like, hey, you're back in this place. You're probably feeling like lonely or like whatever.
Yeah.
And I might know that because you've already said that a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
So it might just be a matter of everybody playing together more.
The backstory thing is what is making it seem so natural that you would have described it. Like, it's so different than being like, you guys walk into a new town. Jake, you feel really scared of the residents here.
Yeah, that's...
Whoa. I think I would just be like, I do.
Yeah. I think even as I say that, I'm like, if someone did that to me, I'd be awesome. Like, okay, sure.
But like, yeah, I think I... First of all, just props to Puppet Analingus for writing a really thoughtful
really
question.
Really mature for being named Puppet Analingus.
I also think everything that you're saying, you sound like a really thoughtful DM.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really concerned about you going forward.
No. Yeah, and I also don't think this player is, you know, a red flag player or anything like that.
Oh, I'm not
like
trying
that.
To say that.
I think a conversation handles all this because...
Sounds like you guys just did it. Yeah. Like, you figured it out.
Yeah. Right, like, you talk to all your players about their backstories. It sounds like maybe you need to have more conversations with this player and also tell them about your DMing style and be like, are you cool with that? Or mm-hmm. I can, like,
I think it also, I know Brandon does this a lot where it'll be like, here's this situation, your backstory, you're here, you're in the Dwarfenage. What do you think Hard One's feeling in this moment? Yeah, it's like, you do that thing. Mm-hmm.
And then you can, like, expand on that. It's like, oh, I guess I'm feeling, like, scared. And then you're like, okay, so you're feeling, and then you can, like, extrapolate from there.
Right. Case as presented, it feels like you didn't really do anything wrong, and this might have been a little bit of an overreaction, but I think the preferred way to handle it is to let the player, you know, decide how they feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm gonna say that a cop took away my player agency when they pulled me over for speeding. Just see how it goes. Just try it out. Maybe they'll feel bad.
Yeah, I think that's some of the language of how they approached you sounded a little bit
like you'd read some stuff online.
Like they'd read some stuff online and they were trying it out.
Yeah.
So that's what made me, mm-hmm. but I think that you sound like a thoughtful DM. It's possible that you overstepped a little bit, but it also doesn't sound like I wouldn't beat yourself up.
Certainly
I feel
not.
Like, yeah, the way you're feeling based on this is like more than you need to have to course correct moving forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it seems like you guys already solved it. You talked, you know what they don't like. And now you can
do a light punishment. A light punishment.
Just the lightest, teeniest little
just
punishment.
A little one.
A cute little punishment.
Just a cute little punishment. Are we punishing the DM? Yeah, I think we have to, right? That's kind of the only person that we could.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
But it's got to be like community service or something like that, right?
Oh, they could do something.
they could collect signatures for the... Mm-hmm.
Oh, they could serve the hard-boiled eggs at the school.
Oh! To the kid's desk.
That's right. Okay, so you can be the... How about, to make it cute, they get to choose. You can be the egg delivery person, or you can collect the signature. I feel like signatures is going to be pretty easy. Right. This is win-win.
I think associating with this cause is life ruining. It's the only problem. I'm going to say you have to eat lunch at your desk one time.
Oh,
just the one time.
But as a political statement against cafeterias.
Yeah. You do have to live stream it.
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. So ordered. Mariah Mick G writes, may it please the Supreme Crit and the homely Bailiff Jake. Is it homely good or bad?
Homely is supposed to...
Just like
it's
normal?
The implication I feel like that I've read in the past is like ugly. Yeah. But okay. I feel like it sounds really like kind of nice.
Yeah, I'll be homely.
Like it sounds like you're comfy.
I think
it's not
nice.
It's like saying someone's plain.
I know what I'm saying. Like there's certain insults people... leverage at you that you're like, I don't actually feel insulted by that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're honestly talking about a different person.
True. Bailiff
John. I don't know what Bailiff John looks like, but I don't think he's very homely, folks.
Bailiff John's a freaking knockout.
I bring a case of travel woes.
Okay.
I was recently returning from a trip to visit my fiance in Toronto. I flew out Saturday morning only to have my connection canceled. I wouldn't be able to make it home on time for my online D&D game that evening.
Oh, brutal. Oof.
I notified my group like a decent player and apologized for missing a game. One of my fellow players said I should just play from the airport and pay for the Wi-Fi. Airport/plane and pay for Wi-Fi.
Wild suggestion.
I pushed back.
That suggestion reeks.
Like it would be a bit disturbing to my fellow passengers. The DM said he was fine either way and did not play that session. Was my fellow player right? Could I have played from the airport without being rude? Or was I right in being considerate to my fellow travelers?
Guys, can you imagine sitting on a plane and hearing 1/5 of a D&D campaign?
It's their final episode, too.
Aaron Conqueror Bard.
You took away my agency.
Some of the things you you say in D&D would get you kicked off, of, would get the air marshal pulled on
absolutely.
You.
I pull out a knife and I attack him. Yeah.
What?
I cast fireball.
Yeah. Does it blow up? Did it blow up? Did it work? Did it blow up?
I cannot imagine. This is truly the most insane suggestion I've ever heard.
Put it rolling dice on a little tray. Asking your neighbor.
Turbulence. Wait, I quit, but then there was turbulence. Excuse me. Can I need my laptop for this one. Can I use your tray table to roll dice?
Do you mind if we turn on all three of the overhead lights?
And I actually get all just everyone sleeping. It's a red eye. So that I can eat my rotisserie chicken.
You got a separate suitcase for your chicken. You gotta.
Yeah, can I do a margarita?
Can I do a margarita? Bob the Goblin was my dad. And he's dead. He's dead.
Daddy Boblin.
Dad, wake up. Cast Revivify. Do it.
Just turn it to your seat partner being like, excuse me, could you turn this movie off? It's really distracting.
I really think that this other player must have been joking, or I don't know how they conduct themselves publicly.
I do remember. I remember a time before all of the NADPOD and us playing all the time back when D&D. It was like so devastating when a session got canceled because you only get to play like once a month or like even less than that.
Right,
and it's like somebody's like, "Sorry, something came up at work and I'm running late." There's definitely a part of you that wants to be like, "Can you just stay at the office and zoom in after, please?" Yeah.
It's that moment when you find out the bad news where you just want to be like, is there anything you can do?
Yeah.
Is there anything you can do?
Play still? Yeah, but it's possible that they were kind of being like, maybe you can just chat in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then suddenly you're dealing with airplane Wi-Fi, which is so inconsistent. That really,
it would have.
And then everyone's just waiting for your turn. Oh, looks like his Wi-Fi isn't working.
Yeah.
This is why airplanes need a D&D class. They need a separate class for passengers playing D&D.
That's just way more expensive than first.
And, expensive.
Very expensive.
But the Wi-Fi actually works.
The Wi-Fi works. It's that's crisp.
Cool. Yeah, what Delta status do I have to achieve? Because I will do it.
Dodecahedron platinum.
Wow.
Yeah. Wouldn't even be fun to be just them clipping as
It wouldn't be fun for the rest of the table either. Like, if this player got what they wanted and this person did, dial in from
but
the air.
Murph
they
would, that is would so not be right, good. Though, that like that person was just coming from
they
the
were,
place
they just
of, like,
wanted to play.
They just wanted to play. Yeah, totally. They didn't want you to not be there.
You can't expect somebody to not shoot their shot, you know?
But that being said, that it's an insane suggestion.
My favorite,
we do need to go ahead and
my favorite
them.
Character in all of this is the DM, who makes an absurd suggestion.
And like,
they're just
cool
like, I'm
way.
Cool either way.
Whatever.
I'm cool if you want to play D&D on the plane jammed between two people.
Which works
for me. That's fine. That to me is more insane than the person just being like, can't we just play? Can't you just figure out
the
how
DM
to play?
Has to diffuse.
That person is like,
I love
they
them.
Need to play.
They're
the
crazy.
DM just being like, you playing on a plane? I could take it or leave it.
Didn't you spend like hours prepping this, my friend? Why are you so chill about this?
That's really funny.
Yeah.
I mean, who do we even punish,
the
right?
The DM.
This whole situation is
The DM is interesting. The DM remained neutral in the face of insanity.
They remained neutral.
Yeah, they didn't choose a side.
And when...
I think that the DM was rolling with the punches, and I respect that.
But that's not the DM's... job. Mm-hmm. DM's job is to make
DM's job is to facilitate what the players want.
The DM from the first question that was like, you can roll flat or leave.
Yeah, we need roll flat or leave energy here.
Oh
we
God.
Need to know you can't play fucking D&D on a plane, you maniac.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. You really can.
Yeah.
You really actually can. Yeah.
Maybe the pilot can do it because they have radios and there's a lot less time.
I think that we should just... Okay, we should punish all of them by giving ourselves a gift, which is we get a private plane in which we can play D&D.
That's
amazing.
So fucking
fun. Really
fun. That's
right.
It's like, planes are so long. Yeah. It'd be the perfect way to fill time.
Yeah.
Well, we wouldn't even have to take it anywhere. We'd just hang out inside the plane.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. So it doesn't even
leave.
So
we're just going to go to a plane.
No, yeah. Jake, John, it's very important to me that we burn all of that jet fuel.
Jake, John. Yeah.
Jake, John.
We could just play in the studio if we're just going to play.
No, we need to be burning that jet fuel.
would be cool though if we were like on, if we were on the plane, right? But we were just kind of like cruising along backwards.
I can't wait for NatPod to have its own Taylor Swift controversy of burning too much jet fuel by playing D&D in the air.
The audio's just really good in the mobile studio.
Whoa, we're just taxiing.
Hey,
we're not burning a lot of jet fuel.
We're just burning way more than a car.
Taxiing through the backwoods. All right, sweet. Well, thank you for the fucking plane.
Yeah,
thanks for the plane. Yeah, your DM needs to buy us a plane.
It's amazing. So ordered.
So yeah, I guess we're technically, we think the person that suggested you playing on the airplane is wrong.
The most incorrect.
But we feel for them.
Yeah.
So they do have to chip in for the jet.
All right. Okay, yeah. They have to chip in.
No, we're going to buy it. We're not going to. Taylor Swift apparently like shares hers with other people.
We're not going to share.
We hate to share my
responsibility.
Yeah. Okay, we need our own
beers.
Okay. Kevin S. writes, "Dear esteemed and wise justices and the lowly craven guest of man known as Jeremiah."
His name is John.
Guest of man.
Is that from like fucking Frankenstein?
Honestly,
it's incredible.
Guest of man known as Jeremiah is not a bad attitude for me either.
Guest of man known as Jeremiah.
I have been running a 5e campaign for several months, and recently a player has asked to run a concurrent campaign based on the Spelljammer source books set in space where different worlds are essentially different planets. The PCs would essentially get to travel from world to world on arcane spaceships and have adventures. He asked, could he add my campaign world as a planet? And I agreed, assuming it wouldn't come up until a few sessions down the line. Unfortunately, I was wrong. First session, the new PCs landed their spaceship on my campaign world, right in the center of my largest major city. And long story short, despite me trying to stop them, they murdered several of my key NPCs.
John, stop.
I tried to laugh it off as non-canon, but my player turned DM insisted that since this is his campaign, he can decide if it's canon or not.
Are they fucking with you?
And then if I didn't respect that in my campaign going forward, I was basically saying he was a bad DM. The worst part, now this is becoming emotionally manipulative.
Is this a joke? Is this a prank that's going to turn into surprise on your birthday? We reveal this was a joke.
I wish. The worst part is the other players agreed. I now have the choice of whether to insist this is all non-canon, piss off my players, or try and salvage my ruined campaign and hope they don't choose to alter it further. So I ask you learned judges, am I wrong to feel hard done by my players here?
Yeah. So here's the good news.
Okay.
The good news is that you don't have to worry about your old campaign world because you can't play with these people. That's the good news.
Yeah.
The bad news is...
Okay. What is the mega context
weird
for this? Because
play.
This is insane. Like, is this a weird meta coup?
It is. It seems like the players all got together. They were like, let's run this thing. Let's see if we can get on the world. And once we're there, we wreak havoc and insist that it's can't.
I think the other players might just be like clueless.
Can you imagine if I was like, Murph, if I like got together with Jake and Caldwell and I was like, okay, like we have this like bad guy in Bohemia that we're like having a hard time killing. What if I run a one shot that this Bohemia exists, but we're playing level 20 characters?
Awesome.
But you were playing level 20 characters, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to pitch this to Murph. I go to Murph and I'm like, hey, we want to do this one shot.
Sure,
that's like all level 20 characters.
It
like exists in tandem with Bohemia. Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Cool. And then we do it and then you guys immediately drop
it. I head straight
it.
For Esri.
What?
We could actually do it with... Oh, wait. I guess Murph is technically one of the hot boys, but we could
in
almost
hot boy summer,
do it.
You just like go
you just
kill
level all
cop.
Of us up and level Mac down.
It's literally the equivalent of... Emily and Hot Boy Summer.
The three pills that if you eat them, they will make you level 20.
Here you go, Maverick.
I roll with disadvantage.
I got a four. Can I re-roll it?
I rolled with advantage by accident. Got an add 20.
Dave is going to shove Mac down a flight of stairs and eat his pill.
And then the hot boys of summer kill old cop. That's what, wow. That's what happened to this DM.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What it's a so bizarre thing. And then, so and then the weird manipulation of being like,
if you say this, then it means I'm a bad DM.
You know what I would say to that?
You are a bad DM.
You do have to call that
you're
bluff.
You're a bad DM and a bad friend.
Right. Yeah. You're a bad defriend.
Yeah.
You should defriend the DM.
There you go. There it is.
Really.
You got done really so dirty, and I do not know why. And I don't think you know why. And I think some of the players don't even know why.
The probability of this, like, you are playing Spelljammer. You could go to any world. The fact that this player chose to go to your world.
I think it was a coup.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm wondering how well orchestrated that coup was. Yeah.
Clearly they in some way respect your world.
Right.
Because they, or at least aspire to be a part of your world building, because they wanted to incorporate your world into theirs. Mm-hmm. They couldn't come up with their own thing, but then they want to destroy it. Mm-hmm. It's fucked up.
It's really
it's
weird.
Like weird.
It's so weird.
There's other things going on.
Okay, here's what you do. Okay. Here's what you do. I don't know who, maybe they came in and they killed NPCs who were bad, right? That they weren't high level enough to kill.
It sounds, right. Or it maybe, just like key NPCs.
So maybe it's just random people, right? So then you just need to like really, really spell out how much they missed out on by killing these
You should
people.
Kill the... You should
kill
have
one
any.
Of them and then be like, there's only one person who knows Revivify. It's insert name of dead NPC.
And you should maybe. Have your NPCs... Your NPCs in your game, in a narration, kill the PCs from the DM's game.
Oh, that's good.
Just start your next session, be like, so there was a massive slaughter. A spaceship showed up and killed a bunch of our NPCs. Luckily, the town guards showed up and they were able to kill the evildoers.
Right.
The spaceship has been blown up and everyone aboard has been killed.
Yeah.
And we'll be starting from there.
That's really
And then
smart.
Next month, you schedule your session exactly for when the other session is, and you make your players choose.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, my God.
And that's all if you want to play with these people.
Yeah, I think
that's
true.
Yeah.
Which you maybe don't.
Maybe
I'm
don't.
So baffled by this situation.
Yeah, this is weird. This one's
okay, so we have to
one.
Sentence this rogue band of players.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let them play in this shitty-ass campaign with this DM that doesn't know
that's
what the
true.
Fuck they're doing.
You know what? They've said it. This DM has set a precedent in which... The second he does something one of them doesn't like, they're going to come for him by starting their own one shot.
That is true. Mm. That is
so
actually true.
Let them eat themselves.
Let them be in their own fucking filth.
And they can't even play in a plane. They have to play like in a fucking room.
Yeah.
Like, they also, they're going to be screwed as soon as they have to make up their own shit.
Right. As soon as they
literally
come to
had
your
to
world.
Steal your shit
yeah.
to run one session just to be a troll. If they want to keep it going, they're just going to run out of stuff.
Yeah. Let them eat shit.
Yeah.
Let them eat shit.
Let them eat shit.
Let them eat their own shit.
And not on a plane.
Not on a plane.
Turok style. Or in a cafeteria.
It was Turok?
Never.
Was it Turok?
Turok?
Turok.
Yeah, Turok. Yeah,
who wanted to be a DM.
Right. And then got their wish
himself.
And then didn't know what to do.
The soul of Turok is residing in this DM.
The soul of Turok is in this DM. And also, the next time they ask that.
Puppet string.
You say, yes, you are indeed. A bad DM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was like
you
the part that really
shit.
Was quite upsetting.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So ordered many times over. Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up, they are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
Our next case comes from Fia L. To the Honorable Supreme Crit Justices, as well as Jake, who is either cool or can go suck eggs, depending on how Murph is feeling.
Ah, well, he's John now. Yeah. We love John.
John can have as many eggs as
everyone
he desires.
Loves John.
John Odenkirk.
Yeah, John Odenkirk. As long as you don't get on John's bad side by having lunch in a damn cafeteria. I present to you the case.
Includes food courts. People should be eating in the stores.
Why do you need a separate room for
why
the food?
Why do you need a separate room?
Eat in the fitting
you
room.
You have a little cart.
Go in the ladies' footlocker. Eat your eggs.
Yeah, come eat on. Your eggs in the footlocker.
They're eggs for a reason. So you can eat them on the go. I recently ran a pirate-themed one-shot for some friends, ooh, with the story being the party trying to find a magic portal before an evil pirate king did. However, I had a bit of an issue when one of the players said that I wasn't allowed to kill their character because they used the same character in other games.
Ugh.
I told them while I don't intend on killing their character, I also wouldn't promise that their character wouldn't die because then there would be no stakes. They again said that that would impact their other games. But I don't think that what happens in someone else's games should matter to me.
Yeah.
The player then went silent, and it seemed like they were angry at me for not making my one-shot a part of someone else's continuity. To the court, I ask, should I have promised not to kill their character no matter what, or was I right to keep the stakes up?
Literally, like, franchises worth billions of dollars where the characters die are in different universes or there's different canon or there's comics where it's like what if Professor X died? What would the X-Men be like? Yeah. What would the X-Men be like if Magneto was the leader of them? What would this?
Right. Of course.
Why can't this fucking little game have the same rules as these billion-dollar franchises?
That everyone,
you can't stretch your brain to comprehend how that would be possible
this game's
when
gonna
all
be,
of fantasy does that?
This game's going to be awesome. Just remember not to kill me, all right?
This is so, I can't get hurt. I can't get hurt. Remember.
It's just fucking wild because I saw Endgame and I told Kevin Feige not to kill Iron Man and then he just fucking did it.
Yeah.
He did it in the movie.
Is that a spoiler?
It is a spoiler.
Spoilers!
But it's, come on. Spoilers for Endgame. It's a very popular movie.
The dog dies and all dogs go to heaven.
I mean, it's called Endgame. You know that everyone's going to die at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the game.
Well, not everyone dies.
Yeah.
Sure they do.
In Endgame, everyone dies, and then it's the end. That's the last Marvel movie.
Yeah. And they're not making any more.
I miss them.
They went out with a bang.
They were really funny.
End in the title and then keep making more. Yeah.
You know what they say? Go out on a high note.
Yeah,
right.
In the good film job, industry. Kevin.
You want to peak, and then you kind of you never make another film after that.
Perfect.
I think this is. I'm really, really trying to. I think that there are people who create a character that is so sacred to them and that is part of the fun of how they interact. But I just don't think that you can ask other people to accommodate that.
I think if you have that kind of like sacred character in your head, you just have to be like, this is a non canon adventure for my character.
Yes. And like, does this rule... I'm Assassin's Creed. Yeah. I'm getting dispatched into
the... Do the other DMs abide by this rule too? Like,
your character can never die.
Yeah. So like, if they're not dying in this campaign, does that mean in their other campaigns, their DMs are also on board with that?
Yeah. If they can't separate that headcanon, why don't they just make a new fucking character?
Yeah.
I get wanting to... I mean, I don't totally get it because I don't do it, but I understand the idea of being like, this is my dude. I like playing as them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put them in every game I play and have sort of my own little fun multiverse. That's fun.
Right.
But the purpose of it is it's a multiverse.
Yeah.
Different things can happen in different timelines. Mm-hmm. Why you would want to play a game where there's no chance of losing? Just do we all want to sit around playing Candyland and just no one can lose? Just,
that's fun.
That sounds fun, right?
Yeah, I do like looking at that board.
It is a nice
so
board.
It's a fun board. That
looking.
Chocolate guy.
Yeah.
And the licorice devil.
Yeah.
I like the licorice devil.
Spoilers!
Spoilers for the board of Candyland.
I got to give another spoiler for All Dogs Go to Heaven. Actually, the dog actually dies twice, technically.
Yeah, twice.
Well, because he dies at first and he gets the little timer. God or whoever the hell talks to him
some
is
sort
like...
of angelic presence.
And Angel's like, hey, you've been kind of a fucking bad dog.
Uh-huh.
But all dogs go to heaven, so I'm going to give you one more chance. You get to be a good dog with a little timer on you.
I know we shouldn't be having this tangent, but what makes the dog so bad?
He works for the dog mob.
That's not true. I had two dogs.
He works for a big...
tried to run into my house the other day.
Wow. They might be part of the dog mob too.
Yeah, they were
the
bad dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. If all dogs go to heaven, then doesn't that kind of take the stake? Like...
That's the purpose. So he does not get into heaven,
right? But they're like, well, you didn't get into heaven, so you get another chance.
Yeah,
and then like, what's the alternative? If
there's dog hell,
he was going to go to hell.
Yeah. Then why do they say all dogs go to heaven if there is dog's hell?
Because it's going to be a hell.
He goes to heaven at the end,
mm-hmm. right?
What you're doing is you're criticizing the dog religion. Like the hell has to exist there as like a threat, but like
I actually don't.
Yeah.
I don't know if the dog was the dog. You seem to know more, Caldwell.
It's burned into my brain.
I forgot about the angelic presence. I just knew somebody came to him and gave him a watch. Does he just cease to exist or does he go to hell if the watch runs out?
He goes to hell at one point. He is on like a boat made of bones.
Oh, you're right.
He's on a boat made of bones.
Yeah, he would have gone to hell. So all dogs don't go to heaven. That's just kind of, it's kind of like
you get
never
like
ending
a first
story.
Chance. Yeah.
Right.
The movie ends.
It's a catch.
It's not never
it's
ending.
It's a catchy line, but it's not, if it's not true.
And I would
but
all say dogs do, that this
all dogs,
applies.
All the dogs in the movie go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One
okay.
dies twice.
This is the pitch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The player wants an all dogs go to heaven type deal where their player comes back. But I think they're like, maybe you trick them. Maybe you'd be like, sure, you can come back, but you're going to get a magic stopwatch.
But
and if you die again, it's for fucking
this
real.
This isn't fun for anyone.
It's also weird for the other players, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other players just to be like, oh, I'm literally not going to target this player because they said they can't die. So I guess my bad guy will attack this other person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's not fun for anyone, including the player who can't be killed. It's like, it's truly just bad across the board.
Yeah. I would say bring up the multiverse argument and also say just play another character if you don't want to do it. Or say, please don't play in my game. It's really annoying.
Or like, maybe you could just, what if you just said, I won't kill you, and then you spend the whole time.
And you just kill them? You see an assassin's blade covered in poison. They attack with advantage. Sneak attack. You've been hit for 70.
A poison from a different universe that cannot be cured in this one.
You guys are practicing your laughing with an A.
Yeah. So you're saying send like a Jet Li assassin after this player.
Yeah.
Kill him in each multiverse.
Okay, that's the punishment, I think. Cool. So we're on your side. We want you to kill this player's character.
Say you're not going to
and then just murder them with
this
an assassin.
This is the kind of advice that we made this podcast to give.
Yeah. Yes. So fucking ordered.
Well done. Well done.
And if you don't like it, you can skip your lunch.
Put it on the wall.
We're asking them to skip the lunch
if
entirely.
You don't like it, because you're already in your office or your room.
Now that we got rid of the cafeteria, eating in the classroom just seems kind of rude.
You get one free pull, John, you're kind of losing me here.
Yeah, and we have to demolish the cafeteria. But asking the kids to forego lunch completely.
Let's table it for the short rest.
Okay.
On what table?
Let's desk it for the short rest. And it's time for a Dice Christ confessional to take us home.
Switch robes.
Switch the robes.
That's good.
Dave 3D Art writes, I submit a confession to the Church of Dice Christ. Mm. 20 years ago, during a game at my friend's birthday party.
Holy shit, this is ancient. Oh my God. Has been weighing on this person's soul.
Yes, the statute of limitations might be up on this, but let's see.
Not church.
All right. A gnome thief illusionist. That's what they're playing.
Okay.
I took and drank a health potion for myself when I was already at full hit points. My friend had real-life jars of juice representing the potions, and I was thirsty.
Oh.
Multiple characters died before the adventure ended, and I always wondered, would some of them have survived if I wasn't thirsty? Please forgive me, Dice Church. I was but a boy of 9 years old.
Oh, you were a stranger kid.
Hey, you were a stranger kid back then.
Actually, I'm going to say that there is a statute of limitation. And yeah, it's 19 years.
In our church, there is. 19. Yeah, you don't have to feel guilty about drinking juice when you're 9.
Again, we have a very litigious
body. As long as you didn't do it in a cafeteria.
As long as you were sitting at your desk, all is forgiven.
Oh, it's so cute. The jars of juice or the health potion.
Really cute. Really, but then also the little 9-year-old staring at one being like, oh, boy,
really go for
so
some juice.
I can really fucking demolish that healing potion.
Oh, I need me a cranberry juice.
Oh, brother.
Cranberry juice. It would be cranberry juice. That's the health colors. Yeah.
That's so cute. Sounds like you have the cutest little campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Murph actually does, because we've been playing a campaign that's really, really potion-based, and Murph does.
I make you guys drink full liters of cranberry juice every time you want to have a
beverage. You iced me at one point.
Yeah.
I said to do a greater healing.
You have to drink a malt beverage anytime you want a potion. And I look at you really menacingly and I say, this is what it would be like. This is what it would fucking be.
You might
be
not
like.
Want to drink it, but it'll heal you.
But you're sick, right?
Yeah. I do appreciate the urinary tract health I get from all the cranberries.
Having to drink a full, we have so many potions in this campaign, having to drink a full glass of cranberry juice every time we got.
Yeah.
That would be a really funny way to discourage us from using too many.
But in our campaign, we've also have been describing them as like these frosty, delicious.
Yeah, sometimes
like
they do make me thirsty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
But it's like having to drink something as a bonus action, I don't know if I could do that in real life.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense that it takes a long
full,
time.
For me to drink
Although,
something, it's a full
it's
action.
It's 10 rounds a minute, right?
10 rounds is a minute, yeah. Mm-hmm.
10 rounds, so then that means that it's 6 seconds per...
Yeah.
6 seconds for an action, for a full round.
For
yeah.
a turn.
For a turn. Mm-hmm. So then presumably it's like 2 seconds. Yeah, I couldn't drink a full... I could shotgun it.
I feel like it's more like... it's like a wellness
shot,
I imagine.
It's like
shot,
a little thing, yeah.
I could drink a little...
I could drink some ginger turmeric absolutely
shot.
Wellness shot in 2 seconds.
I could do that in seconds, for sure.
Yeah. Just picturing them being like Monster Energy tall boys.
Yeah.
You know, I think Dice Christ saw that you were thirsty and so supplied you with some cranberry juice.
Yeah.
I think, you know, as penance, have a little cranberry juice for your fallen.
That's nice.
Pour some juice on your floor.
Yeah, on your carpet, unfortunately.
Yeah. Not on the hardwood.
It's gotta be on the carpet. Let that stuff sit for a little bit.
Yeah, and hope preferably you're on an airplane when you pour it out.
But not our plane.
Not our airplane.
And don't apologize.
Because you can't keep up with the taxi of our airplane.
We go so fast.
Try and catch us. We're going...
You'll see how fast we go and how much jet fuel we burn in the articles that come out.
We go fast enough that we could take off, but we're
never
We just want to be, we don't want to be in the air. We just want to be burning as much fuel as possible.
That feeling of taking off and landing is really
awesome. And we love it.
Yeah, we like the tingle. That's the thing. We're getting the tingle nonstop while we play.
We don't want to go anywhere. No. Like, don't get us wrong.
Yeah,
we just
want to take up the tarmac, kind of make it dangerous for other people that want to land. Yep.
We're going somewhere in a fantasy world.
Yeah. So we don't need to go anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. So you're forgiven, and so are we.
Yeah. We're all forgiven.
We're all forgiven.
Anyway, I see a lot of protesters outside the plane.
Whoa.
Whoa, hey. All right. Sweet. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We're going to call it for now, but we'll have more cases over on our Patreon. Patreon.com/NADPOD. That's NADDPOD. Do not say it.
over.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Does anybody have anything we'd like to plug?
Let's plug our Instagram.
Follow
us on Instagram.
We drop live show info there. Sometimes I do a little behind the scenes stuff when I remember to.
That's right. It's super hot.
Yeah. I've been working out a lot, so I'm just like posting a lot of progress pics.
It's all befores
right now.
Yeah. I mean, you're supposed to post a lot of befores.
You do a lot of befores. Yeah.
It's like me eating different foods and being like, wow, my body's going to look really good after I work this off.
Yeah. But never show the after.
Fueling a workout, but you never see the workout.
Sweet.
Got that pre-workout glow.
You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at TeachMerchMe, at TheExtraDemily, at Caldy's Caldwell, and at Jake Hurts Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation.
Hey there. Jake here to let you know one, we just announced some brand new shows out there, folks. So check them out. They are in Denver, Nashville, and Atlanta. They are on sale now with the artist code PAWPAW. So check those out at nadpod.com/live. And also, of course, I'm here to thank our benevolent Council of Elders, Brad D, Jeffrey S, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Daniel G, Dylan B, who is selling a Galad trading card for 100 brown leaves, Dungeon Mama, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P, Michael McD, Vincent W, Miss Tur Cole, Victor T, Balnor's Boy, Dominic Person, Andrew B, Justin I, Ragnar Fairdwin, TJ M, Trey Lay, The Cray Fay, Jared E, Christopher B, Damiel R, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, the head chef at a little place called Manja's, Richard X Machina, Michael L, Taylor S, Callum L, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, Thaddeus Lee Gladiator, Samuel B, Mike H, Matthew E, Way Cooler Than Angry Wheat, Adam G, Tyler F, Faust the Feisty, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, Nope, Sorry, Just Andrew the Druid Here, Adrian the Halfling Bartificer, Calder's Other Helm, which is possessed by the spirit of El Che Guevara, Captain Sigil, Diana DLS, CC Lulu, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R, Crocaholic, Lucas B, Rayco, It's Kevin, and here it comes, Calder's Cold Cum, hashtag Rise My Cumrades, Spread the Cumroderie, Taylor B, the Vengeful One Winged Angel, Cass Skateboard Cass, Stephen C, Mike K, Lady Taco, Brian G, Joy T, Nara, Jake L, Nick W, Brave the Badger, Agnity of the NADPOD Discord, that's discord.gg/NADPOD, great plug, Foster the Boneless Duck, Aaron the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Glad Roselle, the White Rose of Galateron, Christian A, J Dragonborn, Joe Rowe, the Inapropo, Liam D, the Sandrian, Ben A, Feldonis, John the Third, Dave H, Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Rebecca G, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's Assistant, Izzy F, Marky Mark, the Marvelous Mining Engineer, Cat C, Kelsey J, Pork Chop, Misa of House Inzunza, Ariel the Occasional Mermaid, Chris S, the Purveyor of the Ultimate Blend of Butterfinger BBs and the Vervain Elixir, Selena N, aka Valacy Raptor, B Perky Always, Pat L, Achutha A, Lauren H, Ryan S, the Bone Duster, Annie M, the Crochet Crafty Queen, the Charming Fluff, Robert Crisp, Kitty Creations, Fan Illustrator, Insert Request, Let's Do Foster, Full of Potions, Ploops, Carly A, Addy K, Wesley T, A Random NPC with a Funny Voice, AP Cleric, Lori P, Those Who Love and Give Where They Can, Murph the Nerf Mascot, Grant L, Connor Savage, Christopher J, Pebblepot, Why Are Dragons Amazing Musicians? They Know Their Scales, Salil, Leviathan, BioQuart 7, Remington, CD, Amber Dextrous, Kai the Ham Sandwich, Sullivan H, Trubhop Dropper, Sydney T, Jack H, Strong Caldwell Conspiracy Theorist, Fanderay says at CH Murph, who's a nasty little P-boy. Okay. Garble the Moist, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi featuring Murph's laugh after Caldwell called Shane's murderer a jerk. Champ Wild, Valen, Beep Barbarian, Bastard Baby of Brian and Brennan. Carlin C, Stan the Dragon Man, Holder of Too Many Bags, Emily S, Inushe, and Cap Codes, the coolest peeper people ever. Harry Cox, Nice, Noah the Bagel of All Things, Justin LB, Tori, Levy, Little, Pendergreens, Pungent Pudding, hashtag CCC, hashtag Slanging Rope, ONT, Bunny, Marcos P, Pup, Kalish, Jordan P, the occasional crit reporter, Learns the Balanced Druid, Dakota JP, Frida M, Pagos, the self-proclaimed Fae Prince, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Friar Frizzit, Andy E, Dina S, Holly Hyena, Kristen Z, the I Will Use What You Love Against You DM, Leah C, Paige H, Helen of Briz, May B, Pixel Stars, Akash T, Kristen with a K, Cal, Just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes the whole thing, yes every time, Neos the Novice Monster Hunter, our strange familiar friend Simon, we had a shared dream, he insisted we sing Artemis and Parzival by Gunship, Patrick, Lorelei F, Mike the Adorkable Bike, Morgan M, a peeling sticker, Stephen E, Sydney and Andrew L, Mr. Adams, Meg the Mail Carrier of Bohemia, James F, Cap'n Cappy, M4L, Wayfarer, currently in a trademark dispute with Mothership over the patent on the SS Storm Bjorn, Andrew B, Cope Fresh, Barpo Good Barrel, Barbarian and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep, Welshlander, Garrett G, One Big Curd, Eric M, Mr. D, Sean J, Mr. Silly Head, Ethan B, Monster Captain Renee S, Hop the Dancing Rabbit, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who will totally be making money and a grand novel off the Duck Team Tales with an on-the-go All the Stops show, Blue Slade the Artificer, Michaela R, Riley S, Sursig 93, Fico, Angry Wheat, the game itself just trying to find himself, Tony G, Corbo's Calamitous Cumshot, hashtag CCC forever, sorry Jake, it's okay, Josh H, Jack the Jax Jinxing Rogue in search of Bohemia's biggest balls, a horse killed by hard one, sorry about that, Mango Empanadas, Temidar, I'm back, baby, told you I'm the best Pippin the Dead, Rented Mules, Mystical Mustiliata, Trogdor the Burninator, Clementine T, Caleb L, Obi Kwan, Simone Birdlife M, Pixie the Kelpie, Jawunder the Crick Elf Elder, who would just like to remind you that Rachel dies. Wow, you ruined it for me again. Cantrip, Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian with bad luck, Papa Wookie, MJ, the BFG drinking tea by the sea, Camden L, Ducky, Samantha K, a big squid, Cronus Maximus, and of course, Gino T. Thank you, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.